an interesting finding and really important right now in the industry. Obviously, there's a lot of conversations about reducing our reliance, especially in the calf rearing industry, on antimicrobials. So I think this was something that I really wanted to drive home in our point in this paper, was that perhaps there's a greater ability of these crossbred calves to recover from diseases compared to Holstein calves. So those were our kind of primary findings in terms of health.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, the latest dairy health research digested for you. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Steel, ventilation, cow cooling, cow-centric design, engineered in Canada by InBarn Solutions.
Welcome to the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Luciano Cascetta, and I'll be hosting today's podcast and this podcast that's dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the dairy industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. Today, we'll be talking to Melinda Kovacs, who is a graduate student at the University of Guelph, and she's currently working on her PhD, but she just finished last summer her master's, and she's going to talk to us about the findings that she had from her master's project, which is working on beef on dairy crosses. Hello, Melinda. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to talk about dairy beef calf research.
Yeah, no, that's good. So you have a paper that came out like 2 weeks ago, like from today. We recorded this on April 15th, and it has been in press for like, I think, less than 2 weeks, 13 days today. And it's on dairy beef, which like we were talking here before, and you just described to me that's the product of your master's. So that you work. So how did you get involved in dairy beef research? What's the spark that got you into that?
Yeah, so when I was doing my undergraduate degree at the University of Guelph, I had the opportunity to work with the University of Guelph and the Ontario government. And we were doing a summer project where we were kind of benchmarking some of the management that goes on here in Ontario for dairy beef crossbreds, because these calves are kind of becoming more popular in the last, let's say, 10 years. But there's still limited research out there about crossbred calves. So during that time, I was introduced to the topic, and I was realizing that when I was talking to producers, a lot of them were talking about how these crossbred calves seem more resilient and healthier than purebred Holsteins. But there's limited research right now to support that. So that's kind of where I was introduced to the topic, and I was interested in kind of investigating this area a little bit more.
Wisenetics turns podcast airtime into brand authority. We don't sell ads, we elevate voices. If you're ready to boost your authority in the industry, access wisenetics.com and speak with a brand authority specialist. Let's transform expertise into influence, starting now.
That's good. So you mentioned, like, I just want to ask once, like you mentioned, like the producers perceive those animals as more resilient. Did they give you like any like more specifics about what they mean by that?
Yeah, they mostly talked about health, and a lot of producers were finding that the health of these crossbred calves was improved. They were finding less health challenges, or these animals were able to recover from disease a little bit better than the purebred calves, and they were also seeing differences in let's say body conformation instead of body weight, but they were finding differences when those calves were leaving rearing facilities.
That's good. So, and I think it's probably like good for us to set up like this baseline before we go into your studies. Like we're talking here about the dairy, beef on dairy crosses, like those are going to the market or VO market or feedlots, right?
Yeah, so most of these calves are typically going into feedlot production. So they're going to enter the beef supply chain and then go to the abattoir. So this occurs anywhere between 12 to 24 months, depending on like the feeding program of these animals. So I'm mostly speaking about the calves that are going into feedlot rather than VO.
Okay, good. No, that's good. It's a good distinction because they're a little bit different, right? So based on that, so now we have a like we understand, and you did all this great work during your master's. Like, can you walk us through what were you doing, what we're comparing between these hostings and crossbreds, and what did you find?
Yeah, so the paper that was recently put in press in JDS was a retrospective single cohort study that was done here in Ontario. So for that study, we collected the records from about 640 calves that were managed at one single calf rearing facility. So we had, I believe it was 446 Holsteins and 194 crossbreds that were followed arrived to this facility in about a year and a half period. And so with the records, we were able to look at diarrhea and respiratory disease through twice daily health scoring. We were also able to look at growth performance. There was weekly body weights on all of these calves, as well as feed intake. So we were able to look at not only the intakes, but the efficiency of these animals as well. So we had milk intakes on a daily basis for the pre-weaning period. And then we also had starter feed intakes for a weekly basis.
And they studied, like, all the calves were offered the same, right? Like the diet that they were offered, or they were all treated the same, right?
There were some differences in the diet. So there were a few different milk compositions, and there was a starter diet, and then there was also a corn blend diet. So there were some differences in the diets that were fed over the year and a half to all these calves, but we did ensure that, like, the nutritional composition, there was a similar proportion of Holsteins and crossbreds fed the same diets. Yes.
Yeah, no, perfect. That way, that was where I was trying to get. Good.
Yeah, and then the management of those calves in terms of, like, housing, and, you know, time of feeding, frequency of feeding, that was all similar between the calves.
Okay, that's good. So I interrupted you, and I think you're going to, like, what you found.
Yeah, I was just going to explain a little bit of our findings. So when it came to the health of these calves, we found that the Holstein calves had a higher incidence of diarrhea compared to the crossbred calves. So this is what we were expecting based on kind of our communication with producers, that the crossbred calves would have less diarrhea in the pre-weaning or the rearing phase. And we also found that translated to fewer days with diarrhea. So we looked at both diarrhea in general, as well as severe diarrhea. And it was consistent that the Holsteins had a higher incidence of that diarrhea. In terms of respiratory disease, though, we didn't find a difference in the incidence between the two breeds, which aligns with some other recent findings. But we looked into the therapeutic interventions for these animals, and we did find that the Holstein calves had a higher hazard of being treated multiple times for both diarrhea and respiratory disease, which I think is really an interesting finding and really important right now in the industry. Obviously, there's a lot of conversations about reducing our reliance, especially in the calf rearing industry, on antimicrobials. So I think this was something that I really wanted to drive home in our point in this paper, was that perhaps there's a greater ability of these crossbred calves to recover from diseases compared to Holstein calves. So those were our kind of primary findings in terms of health. And we found some interesting results in terms of growth performance too. So as we were kind of expecting, the crossbred calves did have higher growth rates, so higher average daily gains. And they were about 7 kilograms heavier than the Holstein calves when they were finished this rearing phase compared to the Holstein calves.
Yeah. And do you have any, I know it was not set up for you to explore, like, the mechanisms and why they were having these differences, but, like, do you have some, can you speculate a little bit on, like, why do you think there was this difference? Why Holsteins were lagging behind those crossbreds?
Yeah, I think it could come down to the genetics. Obviously, we weren't set up to necessarily look into the details of this as much, but I think, you know, in the dairy industry, we see a lot of inbreeding depression with the Holstein animals. And I think perhaps we have some heterosis or hybrid vigor in these crossbred animals. In the dairy industry, we've been genetically selecting for obviously higher milk production, whereas in the beef industry, we've been selecting for more growth traits. So perhaps these crossbred calves are benefiting from the growth traits compared to the Holstein calves.
That's good. And one thing that it's different on your project from others that came about ready is like you follow some of those animals all the way to harvest, right? So what did you find there, and why is that so important?
Yeah, so we actually expanded on our study here, where we did follow some of these animals from birth all the way until harvest at about 13 months of life. And the reason that we did this is we think that it's really important to be able to follow these animals throughout all production stages, because right now there's kind of a big disconnect between all of the different components of the industry, between the dairy farm of origin, the rearing, the feedlot, and the abattoir. So we wanted to follow these animals to really understand how those early life management factors could influence the potential of those animals. So in that portion of the study, we followed the animals all the way until 13 months of life. And we found that there were obviously continued differences in body weight. So the crossbred calves, I believe, were about 55 or 56 kilograms more in body weight compared to the Holsteins, which does have significant implications in terms of the cost benefit of these animals, right?
It's a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And so we also found differences in the ribeye area and the carcass composition of these calves as well. So I think future research should definitely focus on following animals all the way until the end to really be able to get a better understanding of the early life factors affecting the animal.
Yeah, that's very interesting results. Good. So we're going a little longer than usual. I just have one last question that I want to ask you, because I think it's very important, we'll wrap up, right? What we have. So based on what you have learned and the work that you have done, what's your recommendations, or what are the things that producers and the dairy industry still need to know a little better about this crossbred calves and how to manage them?
Yeah, again, like I was mentioning before, there's a disconnect between all of the industries, and I think all these industries need to work together to be able to find areas where we can improve the management of these calves and have the best outcome in the long run. And with that, a lot of research that's been done in the past has focused on purebred Holstein calves. And so we don't really know if the requirements of these crossbred calves for both maintenance and growth are the same as for a purebred Holstein calf. So I think in the future, we need to continue to research this area to be able to help producers understand how to manage these calves best. And perhaps we can figure out if maybe colostrum management is going to improve the feed efficiency or even the carcass composition of these animals at harvest, then perhaps we can provide incentives for the dairy producer to be improving their colostrum management. So I think for the producers themselves, I think they still need to focus on figuring out strategies that are going to help those calves most. And with my findings from my master's, we see that they're more maybe resilient or robust, but I think those producers still need to be offering the best care to those calves to ensure their success.
That's good. Well, thank you for participating. It sounds like there's a lot more work to be done. So it's good that you have a lot of ideas probably for your PhD that you are working on now. Once again, thank you for participating in the podcast. And to all of those people listening, we're going to put a link for your paper there, and they can reach you out through your contact. But thank you a lot for participating.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was awesome to be able to talk a little bit more about my work.
This concludes another episode of the Dairy Health Black Belt podcast, presented to you by Wisenetics. Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. If you have any ideas of a topic that you would like to hear, send us a note, so we can work on booking someone to come and talk to us about the topic you'll be interested. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable for us. We really want to have that, letting us know what you want to hear in the future. Hope to have you listening to us another time in the near future. This is Luciano Cacheta and for the Dairy Health Black Belt Podcast. Thank you. Bye.